Alrighty, everyone. Welcome back to the Mike Fright Podcast.
Ow!
Today we have a special guest, Jacob Nelson, in the house, everybody. Round of applause.
Yay.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yes. Thank you for being here, of course, Jacob.
Of course. Jacob Nelson is an award-winning comedian. Tell us all about your comedic journey.
That's a good story. I mean, honestly, it actually goes back to pre-K. I remember I was like 4 years old, and I was always the kind of class clown. I remember my pre-K teacher, she's like, you should be a comedian. And I was like, what the hell is a comedian? And,
did she say it sarcastically, or was she like,
I always had the class cracking up, and she was like, you should think about maybe becoming a comedian. Like, one time. Maybe she was joking. I don't know. But like that was literally the first like part of my like brain I can think of where anyone said that to me. And it kind of followed me my entire life, where I was just like, oh, everyone thought I was funny. And I was always the class clown, and not like in the annoying way, but like I could always tell when a joke was needed in class. And so I'd throw it in, always could get that laugh. And I was always known for as a funny kid growing up. And it's just something I've always done. And never thought it was performing was ever something I could actually do. And everyone always said like, oh, have you ever thought about being a comedian? I'm like, yeah, I mean, maybe, but I mean, I would never be able to make it. I mean, those people are a whole different level. But I, at my old job, the chef, the head chef, he kept saying it every single day. He's like, oh, you know, where are you at your comedian level yet? Have you started writing jokes? I'm like, oh, no. And my mom would always do that as well, where I'd say a joke, and she's like, you should add that to your repertoire. It was what she always said.
Yeah.
Add to your repertoire.
That's such a mom thing to say.
I had no idea what repertoire was for the longest time. But that's always what my mom said. Like, as a little kid, she's like, add it to your repertoire. You should definitely add that to your jokes. So, like, all these people my entire life were like, you need to do comedy. And so the chef, he actually knew one of the people in my hometown that like ran shows, and he was like, you gotta go, I'm gonna tell her that you're gonna be there. And he was like, I'll be your first audience member to watch you. And I was like, because everyone always said in my entire life, I was like, okay, I guess maybe I'll try it. I remember it was September 2019 is when I wrote my first set. I did dog sit for a friend, and I had the day off. And I just literally sat with the dogs, and I wrote for like 8 hours straight. And I had 2 minutes of material. I was like, that's good enough for open mic.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Hell yeah.
And I did it. And honestly, looking back, it was horrible. But getting off stage, I was like, oh my goodness, I actually had people laughing.
And you did it.
And I did it. And so, I mean, that was the start of my journey. And been an interesting journey since I got started, because, you know, that was October. It was September 30th was my first show of 2019. And then within 5 months, the entire world shut down. But that's where it kind of got interesting, because in those 5 months of comedy, up until like March of 2020, that's when I got runner-up Best Coast Comedian. And I'm like, why?
Yes.
Why am I getting, like, I'm not, I love saying award winning. I don't know if that's award winning. It's, you know, it's just
that's
runner up.
I feel like that's an award.
I think it's just funny that, like, I'm, you know, the people that I was performing with who were great comedians have been doing it for like decades. And like, I was just this new guy who's been around for a few months, not even half a year. And they had never got runner up Best Post Comedian. The person that got it was the person that actually won that year. She was the one that started comedy in Pensacola. She was like, she is the one that started all these shows and everything. And that year she actually didn't perform because she was actually battling cancer. And from what I understand, she has recovered from that, I believe.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't been out for a couple of years, so hopefully though. But I mean, the reason why she won is because that's the only person people knew. Like, when they came to the voting,
not because women aren't funny.
I'm not saying that she's not funny. I've seen her perform. She was great, but she didn't perform that year. I'm just saying that year she didn't perform. And I got runner-up, but she's just like, you know, the most known comedian in Pensacola for that small group. From what I understand, since I moved up here, Pensacola comedy's blown up, and that's
really
awesome. I'm
really
proud of them down there, and I feel really bad because obviously I haven't really done much since I got up here other than my job.
I wouldn't say that's true, because what was that last year? Was, oh my God, yeah, because it's 2025.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell people about that. That
so
cool.
I moved up here to Nashville, and I moved up here specifically for comedy because, you know, why am I winning awards and I've only been doing comedy for 5 months? So I moved up here because I was like, I just honestly just felt a calling. I don't know what it was. It just said move to Nashville, and I did. I packed up everything. I came up.
Did you know that Nashville was like budding a comedy scene?
Well, I had a specific reason, because one, it wasn't too big of a comedy town. It's, you know, it has some comedies.
Yeah.
You know, a little comedy scene. It's got, you know, it's got Zanies and a couple other comedy clubs, but it's not overwhelming, but there's still the infrastructure of entertainment here in Nashville.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can kind of get your name out there, but you're not competing against 10,000 other comedians like you'd be in New York.
Right.
And so that's one reason why I picked it. And also I picked it because I came up here early 2021 and I could see things hadn't really been opening up yet, but you could see it was going to be soon.
Yeah.
So I specifically came at that point in time because I was like, as soon as things start to reopen, I'm going to be the first one on the scene. I'm going to just totally go and, you know, rock and roll. I'm going to sweep. Within a year, I'll be the biggest comedian out of Nashville. You know, everyone has those kind of dreams, I'm sure. Not just in comedy, but you know, that's what most people move to Nashville for music anyways.
Yeah.
I don't know. I went through that severe, like, anxiety, depression, you know, thing I went through. So I couldn't do it. So everyone up here, you know, that I worked with was like, you got to do comedy. You moved up here for comedy. You haven't done it yet. Why? What are you doing? And last year, it was like February of last year, I saw an ad for the Nashville's Funniest Comic Competition.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, should I sign up for it? And one of my friends from back home, actually, Jade, I sent her an Instagram post about it because I was like, should I do it? She like sends it back. She's like, you have to do it. I was like, all right, fine. You know, I got this opportunity to do an open, like, I don't want to do open mics because I'll get into that in a minute. But like, you know, this was an open mic. It was a competition.
Mm-hmm.
It's like something I can work towards and I can actually get into it instead of like, you have to be known. I love the fact that you could just sign up for it. And I was like, that's awesome. So I sign up for it. I get in, they give me a time, what I'm going to do. And I'm like, oh, great. Now we're back into it. And I remember all the nerves that I had from doing comedy. They all come back and I'm like, oh, I can't do this anymore. I don't know what I was thinking. And I remember it was the night of the qualifiers. It's the first time doing comedy in over 3.5 years, I believe. And I'm like sitting there. I get there like really early, like 2 hours before. And I'm just sitting there like staring at a beer the entire time. And finally, you know, they give me what time I'm going up. I'm like halfway through the show. There's like, I don't remember, something like 15 comedians that night that are performing. And that was only one night out of like 8.
Wow.
And so there's a whole bunch of comedians in the competition.
That's a lot.
And 3 people got to move on. 2 people by judges, 1 person by vote from the crowd. And that was a packed show too. There was like 200 people there. It was like the most people I've ever seen do a show for.
Yeah, it's a great crowd.
And I was like, oh, great. I'm not going to do well. I was just going to do my old set. I had one set. That's all I did was just this one set. I hadn't done it in 3 years. I even looked at I filmed every single set I did and I couldn't even watch them because I didn't want to go back and see it because I know it was going to be cringy. And so I was like, I'm just trying to remember from 3.5 years what my set was. And I finally get on stage and I always shake really bad. So I have to hold the microphone on my chin when I do it. But I just don't even remember it, honestly. As soon as I get on stage, it's it. My brain shuts off.
That's so real.
Whatever takes over.
Say, that's relatable.
I'm sure everyone can do that, yeah. And my brain shuts off and all of a sudden, it's over. I'm like, thanks, everybody. And the crowd is losing it. It's the like loudest cheers I hear of the night. I'm like, I can't believe this. Like, does it feel like that because I'm on stage? And I get off stage and I can't even sit down. I'm just like, I'm walking around the perimeter.
You have wobbly legs.
Yeah. I can't, like, I just had to clear my head. I was like, I messed up this joke and this joke. And like, I'm just panicking. I'm like, oh, great. So then finally it's like, a whole bunch of people showed up, obviously, that people I knew. They've been waiting years. They knew I do comedy and they wanted to see what it was like. And so I had like 12 people show up for me. It was awesome. And I'm like sitting with them when they're announcing who's going to the semifinals. And they get up there and they go, okay, we're going to do this in alphabetical order. I was like, okay. And the first person goes up, I think her name was Maria.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, well, that Maria comes after Jay, so I guess I'm not going up. They announce the first, the second person, and then finally, Jacob Nelson. And like, I'm like, is what? This is an alphabetical order? Like, what? I don't even understand why he said that. So,
well, was it last name, maybe?
Maybe it was last name. I don't know. But I can't believe it. I could not believe I made it to the semifinals of the Nashville's Funniest Comic Competition. And I was like, oh my goodness, I need to write a new set now. I'm not going to do the same set. I've had one set in for 5 years now at this point.
Yeah.
And like, I need to do something new. And I had 2 weeks until that to the next show, the semifinals. And I couldn't think of a single joke at all. I wanted to do, like, my whole thing about when I moved up here and everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Like, my car would explode and I was homeless. You know, the fun times. Hell yeah.
Which we are going to go back into.
Which we'll get back into, yeah. I just want to talk about my actual performance. Then we'll get to that. But, I couldn't think of a single joke, like, how to make it actually funny instead of me just complaining. And it was just the night before. And that's just where that's where I work. That's how I've always done it. Back when I was a kid in school, I had 2 weeks to write a paper. I had to write it. And so it's like midnight and I haven't written anything on paper, and then just clicks. And again, brain turns off, and it's like an hour later, I have this entire like two and a half pages of material. And I'm having to cut things out because I only have 7 minutes. I'm like, oh, I got to cut things out to make it work. I don't even know how I did it. And, I remember I get up there and I do the set because I just sit in the green room before, like, watching other comedians. I'm about halfway in, like, in the set again. I'm like half the amount of people in, and I'm sitting there, I'm reading it on my phone, and I'm talking to this other comedian that's sitting across from me, and I'm like, oh, I don't even know if I'm gonna remember this. I wrote it last night. She's like, wait, are we supposed to do new material? I was like, I don't think so. This is just something that I did. I don't know if you're supposed to, but so I'm like trying to remember it. I'm like, hopefully I remember this. I wrote this at 1 a.m. And I get up there, and honestly, for what it was, the fact I wrote it the night before, I've never practiced it, never done it in front of a crowd, I think I actually did really, really well. Mm-hmm. And I remember I get back to the green room, and this lady that was sitting back there, I get back there, she's like, did I just watch the Beatles perform? I was like,
hello.
Well, that's way too nice. Like, I don't, maybe you saw, I was like, really nervous.
You're like, no, ma'am, I'm Jacob Nelson. Nice to
Jacob Nelson, yeah.
You flip your bald head.
I was like, the crowd, I had great crowd work. I was working with them, and, I thought I did well, but I didn't move on to the semifinals. And so personally, I have always wanted to see the votes for that one.
Yeah. Show us the votes.
I would like to see the votes. Because I think they just didn't want another white guy going to the next set, if I'm being honest.
There are a lot of those here.
And I think it would have been a really, really boring finals. So I mean,
and this is pre-cowboy hat, right?
It's pre-cowboy hat era. That's right.
Jacob is in his cowboy hat era, and I personally love it.
You are rocking the cowboy hat.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I have a girlfriend because of it. So
you getting a girlfriend to your cowboy hat?
I've asked her. She says she doesn't actually know.
You know what I think it is.
Oh, cowboy's getting to you too. I get it.
Yeah.
You say she has to live with.
You know, I think it is partial cowboy hat and partial the confidence the cowboy hat gives you, because the confidence is attractive, sure. Right?
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, yeah. It doesn't give it to me. It's just like, maybe it shows I do have confidence now, because when you first knew me, I didn't.
I love the first thing that you said to me was like, hi, I'm Jacob. I'm pretty sure I'm autistic.
That sounds about right, if I'm being honest.
Then you launched into a story.
I remember around that time, I remember the story probably wasn't something we would repeat.
Jacob's had a few errors.
Oh yeah, I've
haven't
had a
we
few.
All?
Yeah, haven't we all though? Yeah. The cowboy era though has been working out for me. I remember Daniel was like, if I had known this is what it took for you to have confidence, I would have given you a cowboy hat when I first met you.
Yeah.
Oh, it definitely wouldn't work back then. I didn't have the confidence back then.
Yeah. No. Well, and
confidence comes from within.
Confidence comes from, you know, just learning who I am. My friend texted me last week. He said, your Nashville glow-up should be studied in universities.
Oh, I love that. That is such a nice compliment.
No, you seriously have 100% had true. Such a glow-up. Because you got LASIK at first.
I mean,
Well, you shaved your head before that.
Like... Oh, I shaved my head before I moved to Nashville. That wasn't my choice. That was just nature doing this course, and I was just helping it along.
Sometimes you do have the guy that's, like, losing his hair, but is holding on for dear life.
Yeah.
The worst version of it is, like, the all the way back receding hairline, like, where... But then they have, like, hair down to the shoulder blades or further
back.
The
skullet, of
course. Call it,
skullet.
Oh, I like that. I call it the Jeepers Creepers.
See, here's the thing. I would do the skullet with confidence, because I'd do it just to have a mullet, because mullets are, like, hell yeah, you know, let's fuck.
Okay, Florida.
but it's, like, that would, you know, it's going to take, like, a year for me to grow my hair that much. And it's, like, I don't really feel like doing it. But, like, that's maybe God... took my hair because he knew that I would have a mullet. He knew I wouldn't be able to behave. So he's just like, whoop, nope, you don't, you lost privileges. He said, there you go, it's gone.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I mean, yeah, I would do it just because it's funny. Yeah. But no, I honestly, I was never able to control it anyway. So I was just like, yeah, thank goodness it's gone. And I just shaved it off. It was right at the beginning of COVID because everyone was doing it too. And I was like, I can't get a haircut. And it looks really bad when it's long. It's gone. And everybody was like, wow, Jacob, you look like you're 35. And I was like, cool, I'm 23, but I appreciate it. I don't look like I'm 50 anymore. I got that one a lot.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. People are like, oh, yeah, like 40s maybe.
And I'm
like,
I'm 23. You have not one smidge of gray in your beard.
No.
Oh, I know, but it's just the, I have the old, worn, beaten kind of look about me.
You have been working since you were 6 years old.
Yeah, well, you know.
And then also, you're just very well-spoken, I think.
That's
true. Yeah, you just have a mature demeanor.
Yeah.
And, like, for context, Jacob and I don't think I've ever mentioned, work at a whiskey distillery in town. That's how we met, and how he met Taylor as well, because, you know, Taylor by default is just a part of that fam. Because yes, who I doesn't love her, right?
Thank you.
But that being said, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just kind of forced you upon them. But that being said, like, it's our job to talk to people about whiskey and, like, our knowledge about it and all that stuff. And we're walking them around things. And Jacob being there for a bit longer than me and, like, has had it down for a very long time. So I could also see big burly guy in a cowboy hat. Especially because you said Mandy likes Rip from Yellowstone, right?
Well, she says I look like him. I don't know if she likes him.
Well, yeah, everybody likes Rip from Yellowstone, first of all. But then also you're like standing up there with confidence, like controlling the room. Like, I could totally see, you know, that's probably, she's like
100%. Yeah.
You're coming home with me.
Well, shit. I guess I haven't told you this. I can't remember why, but, like, we were talking about, like, she asked me what my first impression of her was, and it was nothing. When I do a tour, my brain is off.
No, I don't register mode. Faces.
I didn't really recognize her until after her friend told me to go talk to her. But I asked her what my first impression was for her, and she said, really loud and annoying.
Oh. And I was like, yep, it's the confidence.
Yeah, because you know me, when I'm doing my tour, I'm like, I have this bottle, I'm like slamming, I'm using it to point to pictures. I did the big moment
to have the Jacob
Nelson.
You need to do it.
Nashville, Jacob Nelson at Nelson's Greenbrier, do his tour.
Yeah, he's the one with all the fucking Google reviews. It's infuriating. I'm like, I do a good job, what the hell.
Yeah, hey, I mean, I work more than you do. What, you that's know, true. I am full time, you're not. So, you know, I think I just contributed to that. Anyways, but that's why I picked, well, one of the reasons why I picked Nelson's. One, my name's on the side of the building. That's pretty cool. Two, I get to stand in front of people and talk to them.
Yeah.
And I get to add my own little jokes in. I am known for the funniest tour, I think. Obviously, I don't think any reviews said that, but I think it's well known for our group that my tour definitely has the most jokes out of everybody.
Well, because your tour is like a set.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you treat it as a performance.
I treat it, exactly. Not necessarily a comedy set, but it is a performance. I am here to educate, entertain, and I'm sure there's one more thing I could say, but I can't think of any right now. Educate, entertain,
entice.
Enlighten. There we go.
Enlighten. Fuck. Those were good. Well, we can just do a full.
Just put on the
educate, middle. Entertain, enlighten, entice.
Yeah. Anyway,
but that's what I do. That's why I picked it, because I still get to do my own jokes. These aren't jokes that were written that I had to give. I wrote them. I put them into my tour to keep it entertaining, to keep it light, and entice people in and get them. It's an hour long, you know. Mm-hmm. If you're not entertaining, you've lost them. And so that's the beauty of what I get to do. It's like, yeah, I haven't really done comedy on my own, but I'm still doing comedy every single day that I'm working. And, you know, it's like, and I get a, you know, steady paycheck that way as well. I don't have to worry about being homeless again. But
do you want to launch into that?
I know. We can. But my parents, you know, they call me and they're like, people are always asking, when are you gonna do comedy? When are you gonna do comedy? Because everyone back home wants me to do comedy. It's like, look, I want to. It's not off the table at all. It's definitely on the table. I still want to do it, but I also want to have a little nest egg so that, like, you know, if I go on tour and I don't make any money or can't get any shows, I'm not, you know. I need to have money, unfortunately. That's just how we live.
Yeah.
This is a way I can, you know, guarantee I get something and still get to do what I'm passionate about every single day.
Right.
And there, we have those, you know, some people are on our, that we work with that that doing a tour is the worst thing in the world. And I don't get it because, I mean, maybe because I don't get it because it's what I love. It's what I love it so much. Yeah. You know, as they say, if you do what you love, never work a day in your life. And that's what it is. All I've ever wanted, no matter what it was, all I've ever wanted in my entire life, maybe from that time I was told in, you know, pre-K, all I've ever wanted to do is entertain. That's it. Period. Yeah. I happen to be able to tell jokes, I guess. And so it works out. And it's just, I'm so glad that that's what I get to do. Is it my stuff? No. I mean, I'm still working somewhat off a script and things I have to say, but it's also my own little thing. And that's, you know, every single person that comes to does a tour there, they can go 8 times and you get 8 different tours if they have eight different you know, tour guides, which is awesome. And the fact that I get to make it my own, and I love it so much. I'm so passionate about, the whiskey's really cool and delicious, but like the fact that I get to entertain these people, I can see them laughing. I can have them, when they're done, walk up to me and go, I've been here 5 times. This is the best I've ever been here.
Yeah.
My favorite tour of all of them. This is amazing. Or I go to do tours all the time. I've never been to a tour this entertaining in my entire life and in the entire world. That's why I do it. And then I also get a steady paycheck out of it as well, which is awesome. So,
well, speaking of entertaining, and since we're on the Mike Fright podcast, have you ever had a moment where you just utterly, just critically embarrassed yourself or bombed or like something just didn't land? Like any circumstance, have you had those moments?
Oh.
I mean, of course we all have.
Look, let me set you up for one, because I've been meaning to tell you this. I completely forgot, and I don't think I've told you this.
Okay.
It was like only a week or two ago, but part of my tour, when I start pointing to the like old-timey distillery photo, and it's like all the distillery staff, and there's this character in the story. I mean, he was a real dude, but Henry Bollinger. And when I introduce him, I'm like, the small but mighty Henry Bollinger, and I turn around and there's only 4 people on the tour, and one of them is this tiny bald man, and he literally, hand on hips, is just staring at me, and I was like,
hand on hips is crazy. That's, you're in big trouble, Missy.
Yeah.
Now, why I oughta?
Why I oughta? Yeah,
why I oughta?
Oh, that's fun.
That's happened to me too. When I talk about how, you know, back in the day, they're not cutting the methanol out as much, and so people are going blind or falling dead. And I had a blind man on the tour.
That is literally my biggest fear, because I actually, I don't really make a blind joke, but I kind of do, because I'm like, you'll never see them again, because you're blind. And I'm always afraid there's gonna be a blind person on my tour. Like I'm looking for like people holding on to somebody, or like the sticks, or like the dogs.
Is
I'm like
that
watching
wrong
this.
To say though?
I don't think so.
It.
But like,
it's not like anybody can help. I don't they went think blind in the past.
But like, if it's a big tour, right, and it's very obvious there's a blind guy in the room, and you say that, then everyone's just kind of like,
ha-ha. Yeah. So like, that's that is my biggest fear. So far, it's never happened.
Yeah.
But like, I'm like, oh, what if I accidentally say that and they like get mad at me? Which I haven't had that many like embarrassing things. Because when I do something, when I like decide that this is the set I'm going to do, it's like workshop like crazy. Except for that one time that I did that. Everything is like workshop like crazy. And I know that I have everything.
To the point where if we're in the tasting room at the same time as Jacob, we all like mouth the words with him.
Yes. It's specific. So I don't have that many things of like embarrassing, but... Mm-hmm. When I go off script, it can happen. So it didn't happen until a couple days after. But there's this group of people on my tour. I think it was some girl's birthday, and they're wearing these shirts that were like Jack Daniel's style, but like it had her name on it. It was like 21st birthday, or whatever. And a bunch of them, and it was like her mom was like chaperoning or whatever. And I don't know. Her mom was there. It was her mom. It was like this group of like.
Birthday.
Well, you know, I think it was a girl's birthday. I'm pretty sure it said like her name and like her birthday, like 21st birthday. And we're like walking, and like her mom like pulls me aside and is like, "Hey, I want to apologize about the Jack Daniel's shirts." And I'm like, "Don't apologize. It's no big deal. People wear Jack Daniel's shirts all the time. So it's like you have nothing to apologize for." And so then later, we're doing like the tasting portion, and I say something about how we're all classy people. It's a classy whiskey tasting. And then I'm like, well, except for the Jack Daniel shirt people. And they all laugh. I'm like, haha, I'm just joking. I'm just messing with y'all. And then it's a couple days later, and my boss pulls me aside and was like, "Hey, did you, make fun of people on your tour?" I was like, "No." She's like, "Were they wearing, well, maybe some people wearing Jack Daniel shirts." I was like, I didn't make fun of them. I was referencing, you know, what she mentioned to me. I was giving a little call, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, note, joke to this girl, this lady, because she apologized. I told her there's nothing to worry about. She read me the email and was like, you know, unfortunately, the whiskey was great, but like the tour guide made us feel uncomfortable because we're wearing a different brand's shirt. I tried to apologize, and he just completely ignored me and nudged off. And then he brings it up in front of everybody on the tour how, you know, we're terrible people for wearing Jack Daniel's shirts. I'm like, that is not what happened.
That's a Karen right there.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
So blown out of proportion.
You're making the effort to. That's like, there's this freaking, I know you're just so interested in this, Jacob, but on the current season of Love Island.
Oh, hell yeah. Yes. Catch me up.
There's this girl, and I remember her from, you know, it's All Stars, so it's different contestants from previous seasons, and there's this girl, and Taylor and I have been, like, tearing our hair out because it's very obvious she's on there for, like, the attention and to bring the drama, because something will happen, like, she'll be like, why are you going off with her? And he's like, no, I just, like, went to go talk to her, like, I did say that I like you, and she'll be like, oh, you spoke to her, like, even though she's even, got, like, it just sounds like something like a
teen
that
drama,
yeah, where you're just looking for an issue, you're looking for something
to
be mad about.
It seemed like, like it's like, so to this day, that was very early on me starting to work at Nelson's,
really.
And to this day, like when I'm like gonna make a joke to like mess with like a little insight, like something that somebody mentioned earlier, and then I'll bring it up to like kind of give them like, hey, yeah, I remember you saying that, like I'll mess with you, for give you a little hard time while you're here. I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I should do this. Maybe they'll get mad at me. Maybe they'll send an email saying, like, I'm a terrible tour guide. And it's like, that's the thing. I can't stand them. Like, I have to be the best. That's just what I am. I'm not saying I am the best, but, like, I have to be. Like, that's where I get really, like, particular in things. I just can't stand, like, people not enjoying their time. And so there's so many times I won't tell a joke to a group because I don't know how they're going to take it.
Yeah.
You know? I thought she was going to take it well. Cause she made a mention about it, so I was like, oh, I'll give you a little like, oh yeah, oh y'all are unclassy because you're wearing these jerseys. Anyways, that's probably what bothers me the most. I don't know if it's like embarrassing, but like it still just sits on my like I'm just
you
like ugh.
Think about that it, like, at night it,
all the time.
I feel like that is such an opposite experience from what most comedians try to accomplish when they make their own sets, like. Some of the comedians I watch, I feel go out of their ways to make people uncomfortable.
Oh, for sure.
Just
that's
for the shock
it.
And the awe of it
yeah,
all.
Yeah,
you know?
But that's, I've always tried. So I'm glad you said that, because I've always, what I always try to do is I always try to put the joke on me. I try to be the fool at the end of my joke. I might set a joke up where it sounds like I'm like, oh, you know, these people, you know, they blah, 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 they bother me. But at the very end, of the joke, it turns on me. And I make myself the idiot in the situation. And that's how I've always tried to do my I don't want to go after, I don't want anyone to feel bad or like feel like I'm attacking them or anything. And so it really bothered me when someone like walks me and is like, oh, he made me feel uncomfortable. That's, oh, I can't do that. And I'm sure other comedians can, but I'm not other comedians. I don't care what they do. I mean, I think works.
Yeah. Well, and you've said before, like you specifically try and write sets to where like more, like it's not just adult. You know?
Absolutely, yes. So that's
inclusive
growing up.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I used to watch those like 30-minute Comedy Central specials, like with my family, and like the ones that we all loved and we all would reference are the ones that, you know, me as a little kid, like 7, 8 years old, could, like sit and watch and still laugh at, still get the humor. Maybe there was some jokes going over my head, but he still said joke. You know, whoever they were still telling jokes that like I could laugh at. And, like we as a family could sit down and like laugh at it. Then we'll make these references a couple months down the road. Those are the ones that always stood out to me. And so like when I started writing my sets, I started going to open mics, which is a good segue into open mics. Open mics, oh my goodness, not gonna lie, hate them. But before I started performing, I went and watched open mics and to see how they'd go. And I remember the entire time, like my back would hurt when I left because I was cringing, literally physically cringing the entire time. Because all that they wanted to do was shock factor humor.
Yeah.
Where it's like the entire point of the joke was just to say the worst thing that you could possibly say. And the only way that people can either react are either laugh out of nervousness or beat them up. Most people aren't going to beat up the comedian, so they laugh. And it's just like, I can't stand that humor. Now, does it work? Sure. But I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to do that kind of humor. And so when I was like starting to write my set, I was like, okay, I'm not going to do anything that is like raunchy or using cuss words or anything. It is not going to be child humor, But it's the humor that maybe if your kid is there, you won't be like, oh, get out of here, get out of here, cover your ears, get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, that's what I've always wanted. And I think I did a good job of that. Yeah. And I mean, same thing when I at work, because there are kids there, you know, it's nothing quite like a 5-year-old at a distillery. I don't know. That's up to the parents bringing them. But like, may as well be able to not make them feel uncomfortable.
Right.
Or the parents feel uncomfortable that they did bring a child to a distillery, which is, I don't know why you are. You know,
yeah.
It's they have nothing to do there. I feel really bad for those kids when they do. But at least they can go be on my tour and not be like, this is for adults. We really shouldn't.
At least they can come on and be entertained, enticed, educated, and
enlightened,
yes. yeah, open mics. Oh, so this has also really slowed down my Nashville, you know, performance or my Nashville doing comedy. I don't know what you want to call it, but I went and I watched open mics here and in Nashville, and it's 100% different from Pensacola.
Did you watch have you been to any at Bobby's Idle Hour?
I have not, actually, no.
They're on Tuesday nights.
They're on Tuesday nights.
That, how do you know that?
Don't ask.
Okay. you just reminded me of this time where, because I've gotten caught up in there a couple times, and it's exactly what you talk about, where, like, you just kind of shrink into
I have definitely been yourself. To an open mic, too, where no one has laughed.
Mm. No, that's happens. The thing. so but, awkward. Like, we were there, I think, for a friend's showcase or something. And ouch, mother F, sorry,
cat
claw in the leg. And this guy, like, they all started to come in separately, and get this, they were all there separately, but they all dressed the same. They were all wearing long trench coats, and like, it wasn't a theme, like, they just all looked the same. And then we were like, okay, we're going to slip out the back, because it's like, I know what it's like to be, you know, back in the day of rounds and stuff, you know, to be up there and then you just see people walking out like before you even get started. And you're like, bro. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or so when you're playing. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, I'm just going to like moonwalk my way out of here. And we were all coming up with like an escape plan. And then this really sweet kid, he had to have been 21 to be there, but something young, came up to us and he was like, hey guys, like, looks like, you know, you're having a drink and stuff. And it would be really cool if you guys stayed for the set, because no one ever does.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, and of course I'm not going to say no to that.
Yeah.
So we stayed. Oh man. It was one of those things. Oh, we were the only non-comedians in there. And when I'm saying we, it's me, Lauren, who you know, mm-hmm. and I don't know if you ever met our friend Amanda, but it's just us three, all these guys in trench coats, and Josh the bartender, just the standing there. Yeah.
Preparing a flash mob? Like, I don't understand.
A flash and something, I'm sure.
Flash double entendre.
Yeah.
It was a very uncomfy time. There was, I do remember this guy making a joke about Smeagol and sucking dick.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mean,
only four teeth. Like, anyways.
Maybe and that was already funnier than raunchy. The whole fucking set.
Jesus Sorry. Christ.
But you were saying, I cut you off.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, maybe, I've definitely given my shows to nobody in the crowd except for the bartender. Many shows have been like that. Don't get me wrong. But, so back in Pensacola, because it was such a small town, there wasn't really much comedy there. You could just go to an open mic and you could get kind of any spot you want. Especially, I became really good friends with like the host, and I made a deal. I got there early, I'd set all the sound system up, and he gave me any spot I wanted on it. So I'd get the third spot because it was early enough that people hadn't left yet, but it wasn't so late that people were drunk, but also wasn't the first one up, so the crowd was a little warm. So I like had it specifically nailed down, and I got whatever spot I wanted, because I was like, oh, and it worked. It worked. Here in Nashville, what I found is you go, and then you have like...
Oh, it's still
going.
Okay. Both gasped at me.
The screensaver popped
I don't
up
think
for whatever reason.
I don't think the story's that dramatic, but okay.
We're really invested.
You go to an open mic and there's 30 people there. Anyways. But it's like way, it's like, you know, back in Pensacola, it was like 10 comedians at most. This is like 30 people, like for a small amount. and they can't get everyone up there. They only like 2 hours to do open mic, so they you all write your name, you put it in a hat, and they drill the hats, and only like half the people or a third of the people actually get to do it. And I remember I was talking to some people that, that were other comedians there, and they're like, yeah, it always seems to be the same 10 people that go up there. I'm like, oh, so I won't get a chance to do anything. Mm. And that's really, and that was, I mean, like, maybe it's changed, I don't know, but that was really early in me moving up here and looking at it, and I was just like, oh, so like, I'll be going up, you know, going out every single day of the week, and I'm staying out till like 2 a.m, and I might not even get a chance to perform. And I like my sleep. I love my sleep. Mm-hmm. And I have, a, I, you know, I got a job I got to be at in the morning. So I just like, that's really what slowed me down. And then I just got on that weird like funk and, you know.
It's totally understandable.
Getting in your own head too, because I feel like it goes for musicians as well. Like I didn't perform the first year and a half I was here.
Any type of performance, it's very much a little overwhelming, not only to be outside of your comfort zone and to have new places and new people looking at you, but also like you're not in the same state of mind as you were when you're in your comfort zone. You're like, what do I even say?
Your world like, your world is different, right? Like because what you were experiencing in Pensacola was what you knew of the comedy world, and then you step into this where like, and it's probably hard in a way too, where like Nashville is known for its music scene, right? So that's already established, that's going, you try and fit in where you can get in, whereas Nashville's comedy scene is pretty new, right? Like it's mean, still up and coming.
It's a lot more
yeah, boomed like than Nate it was Bergazzi when I was like here.
One of the biggest comedians I think he's like multiple specials.
Well, and there's a guy from here that's on SNL.
That's right. I don't remember his name, but yeah, I did hear about that.
The guy, he does like the Trump impression. The
Redheaded guy. Frick, what's his name? I can't remember, but he's really funny. And then Theo Vaughn lives out here now too.
Yeah, so it's like
interesting.
I know I should do it, but I just, you know,
it's never too late.
Yeah, it's never too late. That's the thing. And you know, I do feel bad about it. Every single day, I'm like, oh, I should really look at an open mic. And I think like last week we had Jenny's birthday. Like we were hanging out, and we were looking at open mics for some reason.
We
found the place called the G Spot.
Hell yeah.
Well, I mean, I heard about it. I haven't found it yet, though, but I don't know.
Is it here?
Somewhere in Nashville, yes.
Is it also a strip club?
I don't know. But I hope one day to find
the
G-Spot.
Yeah, I was about to say, you don't know where it is. No,
but it's really a place called the G-Spot that does open mics on like Mondays or Tuesdays, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, maybe if there's going to be my return to comedy, like I really get back G-Spot. Out there.
Yeah.
I'll hit the G-Spot. And
Hey guys, tonight I'm going to hit the G-Spot if you want to come check it out.
Yeah. If you want to watch me hit the G-Spot, yeah, come on by.
Have to pay a premium to get in.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I...
I won't be in there for a long time, but I'll be there.
Jesus Christ.
I made Jacob really uncomfy one time at work because I was, you know, the rare occasions that I get put in the gift shop. And he was walking by and, like, I had to pee for such a long time. That like literally he was walking by, I was like, hey Jacob, will you watch while I pee? but I meant like watch the gift shop, and he was like, what?
We're not there yet.
No, I will not, Sophia Brand, you sick freak.
HR.
Please. Alright, y'all, I don't want to rush us by any means, but we are getting around that time where we have to wrap it up. Jacob, do you want to leave us with a joke?
I should have actually thought about this. Yeah. I should have seen this coming. There's still.
I can always cut this part out.
Okay.
No, that's editing too.
I should have come up with something.
No,
I should have had an idea that y'all were gonna be like, oh yeah, you should tell a joke.
I don't think we planned to. That was a.
No, that was like a spur of moment.
This gotcha journalism, isn't it? Oh, I'm going to let down all of our listeners.
No, it can even be from your set if you want it to be. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Is like my jokes, they're setups. I spend a long time telling this long little story, and finally it comes back. But it doesn't come back until like 2 jokes later. And so it's like people always tell me, they're like, I you know, I say like, oh, I'm a comedian. I do jokes every now and then. They're like, tell me a joke. I'm like, do you have 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Like,
I got to tell you a full story and then do a callback.
I got one that made me want to leave the distillery today because it was so slow that everybody was swapping dad jokes and I was the only chick working, so I got to listen. And Farmer gave one that Duggins corrected, so I will do the corrected version because I liked it. But it was, what do you call a group of killer whales who are super into instrumental music.
What do you got?
An orchestra.
That's our time today. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Alrighty, everybody. That is actually all the time we have. Jacob, do you want to talk about your socials or where people can find you online?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. My Instagram is pretty much the only thing I use. It's called Jack Matt Nell. It's just my name, Jacob Matthew Nelson, JACMATNEL. I don't post there, and I don't do shows.
And you'll never see me or hear from me
you'll
again.
You'll never see or hear from me again. You might see on there that I do Twitch. I've not touched Twitch in like 2 years.
I was going to say, you should definitely get online.
It was fun. I did like Twitch for like 2 months, and it was kind of fun. I had like, not a lot of viewers. I had like 10 viewers or whatever, aww, which for somebody that isn't known, like that's not bad.
No,
but I was just like,
that.
I don't know. It was fun, but I don't know. I can't. I just, it's like you're talking to yourself, and like that's fun doing alone. But then you're talking about yourself with people watching.
Yeah,
and it gets a little weird.
Oh yeah, that. Okay.
So you might see on their Twitch. No, I do not do Twitch either. You'll never see or hear from me. And
Well, Jacob, we loved having you, and thank you so much for being you, your hilarious self.
Oh, thank you.
You crack us up every day.
And thank you for giving us a different perspective, because it's like most people coming on this are going to be musicians, so starting it out with a comedian, too, I think is pretty special.
Yeah.
We love you, Jacob Nelson, and thank you so much for being
thank
here.
Thank you.
Say you love us back.
I love y'all. Y'all are fantastic. I appreciate it. I cannot, when I said, when y'all posted that y'all were going to do this, I was like, and I said like, I'll be a guest. I was 100% joking.
I know you were. And I was like, don't think that you're not already on
all
the
right,
list, dude.
Okay. Well, this was really fun. I've never done a podcast before.
Yay!
We
did it.
We're all hopping up and down, clapping our hands.
Jacob.
No, you don't do that.
Jacob.
That's weird.
Okay. Well, anyway, goodbye, everyone.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
I'll see y'all all later.
But not on Twitch,
not on Instagram, not online, stage.
Only at Nelson's Distillery.
From 11 to 6.
Perfect. Come get a tour.
Come get a tour. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
No one ever laughs when I tell it.
Okay.
Did you hear about the non-binary prospector?
No.
Found gold in them there hills.
All right. That is silly.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Stop.